Who knows you the best? Who would know you, your ins and your outs, your secrets, when you're at your best and when you're at your worst? Who would that individual be for each of you? Probably a family member, maybe a spouse, someone you live with, your child, your parent, maybe a best friend whom you've known your whole life. They've known you in good times and in bad times. We could probably each identify someone who's known us the best. They would know all of the patterns, all of our habits, all of our good habits and all of our bad habits. There's actually a story of the former rector of the Basilica. This was years ago, Monsignor. And Monsignor didn't show up to dinner one night. The bell rang in the rectory, and the other priests gathered, and the priest knew him so well that one of the priests said, "Monsignor is dead. Let's go retrieve his body." It's like, what do you mean he's dead? He's not here at dinner on time. And so sure enough, they go up to the chapel, and there Monsignor, the Basilica of the Rector, is sitting in his chair, dead, with his rosary in his hand. That's how well they knew him. They knew his patterns. He wouldn't be late for dinner. Maybe a candidate for me is Father Johnson. We've lived together for quite a long time. Actually, longer than anyone besides my family, I've lived with Father Johnson. We were just talking about this last night. We actually said, I'd know he's dead if I got up in the morning and there was a full pot of coffee. That's it. I'll go find his body there in his room. But each of us could probably think of someone. This person knows me the best. But even they don't know everything. When I'm in the bathroom alone, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm getting something out of my teeth, they're not there to see that. They might not know the exact minute I fell asleep last night or the exact minute that I woke up this morning. There's things that are hidden even to those who are closest to us. So another candidate might be myself. I know myself the best. I'm the person who knows my ins and outs, my thoughts, my idiosyncrasies, the decisions that I made, and the reasoning behind them. I know myself the best. But even this falls short sometimes. I've heard it said, man is a mystery unto himself. And you've probably had moments like that, huh? Why am I thinking this right now? I don't want to think that. Or why did I just do that again? I promised myself I wouldn't. Or that thing that just came out of my mouth, that nasty comment to my wife, not again. And so there's things of our own heart and things of our own mind, patterns that we have that are still even a mystery to ourselves. So even though we might know ourselves better than a friend or a spouse or a parent, we still don't know ourselves fully or completely. St. John Paul II, he actually said that Christ reveals man to himself. And I think in this statement is hidden something, that even though I know myself pretty well, I'm a mystery even to myself, but Christ reveals myself to me. He holds a mirror up to me. He reveals man to himself. Maybe you've heard a statement like that before. God knows us better than we know ourselves. That's a pretty wild claim, isn't it? God knows us better than we know ourselves. But he knows our ins and our outs. He knows our thoughts from afar. He knows our failures. He knows our weaknesses. He sees me when I'm in the bathroom getting something out of my teeth. We can't escape the knowledge and the presence of God. It's true. There's a psalm, it's one of my favorites, that gets to this, Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, we hear, Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I stand. You know my thoughts from afar. I can't escape your presence, Lord. And then the psalmist talks about some of the places where he tries to escape. He says, if I fly to the heavens, you're there. If I sink to the netherworld, even there, you would find me. So there's no place in my heart or in my life that I can escape the knowledge and the presence of God. I believe this is what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples in the gospel today, that they're close to him, that he knows them, and he always will. He talks about sparrows. He gives them this analogy. Are not two sparrows sold for one small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without the Father's knowledge. If God loves the sparrows and knows them this closely, how much more would he know you and would he know me? Now, when I hear sparrows, I actually think of my grandparents. They love bluebirds, and so they have these bluebird boxes in their yard, and they hate sparrows. If you know anything about sparrows, they're just everywhere. How many sparrows are in the world? Millions. And they're like invasive. They try to get into those bluebird boxes. And my grandparents then, well, they call them trash birds. And so they'll try to remove their nest, try to get rid of them. No, we don't want all these sparrows. We want bluebirds. But the Lord knows each sparrow. He doesn't call them trash. He knows them, and none of them can escape his presence. And so Jesus says, even more so, how I know you. And then there's this line, even all the hairs of your head are counted. Did any of you count your hairs this morning? Do you know how many are there? It might be a little easier for me, granted. I got a close shave yesterday, but I don't know that about myself. I don't count all my hairs. I don't know all these details, even of myself. But God does. God knows them. He knows them all because I'm precious to him. Again, in Psalm 139, he says, I knit you together in your mother's womb. How precious you are to me. And like I said at the beginning, those who know us the best, they've known us at our best, and they've known us at our worst. They've known us in good times, and they've known us in bad times, and even more so the Lord. He knows us in each moment, the good and the bad. I want to turn to that phrase from Psalm 139 just a little deeper, that even I can't escape the Lord's presence in the netherworld, in this place of darkness, in this place of isolation where I'm so-called alone. Even there, the Lord finds me and he knows me. Jeremiah, the first reading today, he knew this place. He knew this place of darkness. He knew this place of rejection. He talks about it in the reading today. He says, I hear the whisperings of many. Terror on every side. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my friends are on watch for any of my missteps. And so Jeremiah, this prophet who had to speak a word to Israel, he was rejected, he was thrown out, he was cast aside. Even there's a moment, this is in chapter 20, later in chapter 38, his friends, those whom he was prophesying against, they even picked him up and dropped him in a cistern. They dropped him in a pit. And so he's at the bottom of this well, all alone, in darkness. And he's actually not the first in the Bible to be in a pit, in a cistern. Jeremiah, before him, there was Joseph with his other 11 brothers, and there was accusation and jealousy amongst them. And so the 11 brothers of Joseph pick him up and drop him into a pit. And David, in Psalm 88, he talks about being in a place of darkness and loneliness. He says, it's like I'm in a miry pit. My one companion, my one friend is darkness. That's a pretty sad place where Jeremiah and Joseph and David found themselves, this place of despair, this pit of loneliness and darkness. But then Jeremiah today, even in the midst of these accusations, even in the midst of this rejection, he says something that's very hopeful, a place of deep faith. He says, but the Lord is with me like a mighty champion. That when I'm alone, when I'm in the pit of despair, when I'm isolated and dark, when I've sunk to the depths of the netherworld, Lord, even there, you're with me. You're like my mighty champion. I think it's no coincidence that when Jesus was arrested, taken into custody by the high priest Caiaphas, they brought him to the house of Caiaphas. And where did they keep him overnight from Holy Thursday to Good Friday? In a pit. They dropped him, they lowered him down into this empty well where Jesus had to experience loneliness, darkness, and isolation. He was probably praying the Psalms of David, that Psalm 88 when he was there. My one companion is darkness. Lord, all have rejected me, all have abandoned me and left me alone. Jesus goes to that place. Why? Because each of us have been in that place. Each of us have sunken before to a pit of despair, like Jeremiah, like Joseph, like David. And so Jesus had to go there too. So that when we're there, we know that he can be there too. Now, if I were in a pit, what would be my first wish? What would be my first desire? Get me out of here. I don't want to be here anymore. So that might be my prayer to the Lord. Lord, bring me out of this place of despair. Bring me out of this darkness, this isolation. But maybe this ought not be my first prayer. Maybe my first prayer when I'm in a place of loneliness, the pit of despair, it ought to be, Lord, be with me here. You've been here before. And Lord, I don't want to be here alone. I imagine Jeremiah prayed that, and Joseph and David. I imagine they came to a place where they cried out to the Lord, Lord, even if you can't remove the situations around me, be with me here in it. And then together, let's find a way out. And so that's where I invite you today, that God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your rising and your resting. He knows when you're in heaven in places of great consolation and joy, and he knows you when you're in that pit of despair. So let's invite the Lord to be with us all throughout those times, reminding ourselves he's always with us. He never leaves us alone.